Oh, actually, you worked with Taika Waititi, didn't you?
Yeah, on the movie. What the hell is it called? It's like Seven Stages to Achieve Eternal Bliss. It's such a long name.
Has that come out yet?
No, so check it out. I was supposed to go to one of the premieres. I want to say it was only about 2 weeks ago. It was like literally 4 days before I got home from being on the road. Mm-hmm. And they had it on a Monday, and I wasn't back till Thursday. Yeah, so... But I didn't.
Yeah, the movie came out.
Able to go.
That movie has had a trailer drop really just recently, a few weeks ago, actually.
Which one?
And he was Seven Stages to Achieve Eternal Bliss.
Oh, it did.
That's what I see
I'm
online.
I'm seeing the trailer now. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm actually in it.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell us. I've already started recording. So tell us about the time you worked on Seven Stages to Achieve Eternal Bliss and what that was like.
Well, it was one of the first projects that I started working on right after Dark Web. And mind you, while I was working on Dark Web, as the production manager and director and everything, a lot of my other contacts and other, like, you know, people that I'd production managed for and did other things for, I pretty much like got out of touch with a lot of those people because I was so busy with Dark Web.
Yeah.
So one of my, like, after Dark Web, I had kind of like this dry spout of like, well, man, everybody's already working, and I didn't lose contacts, but I definitely had to not take certain gigs. And so Seven Stages was initially called the initial title was Corpse Tub. So, and the reason for that is because the whole movie is based off of this house that has this tub in it that this cult, these people keep going to this house and committing suicide in this tub. So
that's
pretty
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually pretty dark in the concept of it, but
it's got a big cast,
right? It's got a cavalcade of like comedians who like, and I think the writers, I know it was initially written by about three people, but I do think that Dan Harmon may have had a say in some things.
And he was one of the people who started it.
He's one of the cast members. He played,
and that's a Rick and Morty guy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he plays this very, like, not so bright police officer, chief, whatever. Mm-hmm. And mind you, I worked on this now. This was already, man, this had to be 2.5, maybe longer, years ago.
Yeah.
No, it was the fall of
2017?
Yes, that sounds accurate.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was, that was already 3 years ago. Almost.
Damn. Damn.
So, like, and so, but anyway, so I had gotten asked to go, and so the AD from Dark Web, Alex Jacobs, great guy. I was out of work for a while. I was like, hey, dude, like, I'll do whatever, you know, I'll come work. And he was like, all right, well, you know, would you come PA for us on this movie? And I was like, whatever, you know, it's for you. Like, if it's for Alex, like, he just AD'd for me. Like, I'm very much about, you know, doing things,
scratching backs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. He AD'd for me. I would very happily, and I've gone and AD'd for him as well, or like helped him AD and stuff like that. So he asked me if I would do it, and I was like, screw it, man. It was like, you know, it was only like 2 or 3 weeks worth of work. I want to say it was only like 2 weeks of this, you know, the indie film world is like, let's shit out a feature film in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Get it out really quickly.
Yeah, which obviously isn't the case. I think a lot of indie people are learning too that the whole idea of let's shoot a feature in 10 days and then 3 years later it's still not out. It's like, okay, guys, maybe we shouldn't press for the 10-day shoots. And I get it because people want to cut costs, but they end up paying for it in the end.
I mean, I don't know what the production cycles are, but maybe it has to do with like, hey, we can lock down this very specific cast for these very specific days, and then worry about the rest of it after the fact, like once it's in the can. I mean, obviously, I don't know, but I'm assuming that's the logic.
Yeah, it's partially that, but I mean, if you really want to think about it, I mean, some of the cast members who are in it, they're not super busy these days, and they only worked on the movie for like, you know, a day or two, some of them, and then other people like Sam Huntington and Kate Micucci, they were on it, you know, they actually busted their ass on it, they were on it all the time.
Right.
Great people to work with. And yeah, so we're working, I'm, you know, just a PA hanging out, doing my PA stuff, and all these, you know, there's, like I said, there's a cavalcade of a lot of, like, seasoned comedians who are in the movie, and, you know, it was just one of those situations where a lot of the PAs and, like, actual crew members ended up being in the movie. So, like, there's certain crew members who were part of being in the tub, you know, who were dead in the tub. My friend Tommy was basically just a corpse laying in the tub while Dan Harmon's like inspecting him. And, you know, it was pretty funny. And like, so he's just basically laying there in a scene with Dan Harmon and Jay Lee. And I can't remember the other actors in that scene. And they're just sort of like talking about it. And then I had a scene where Dan is, in the office, the police office, and me and the sound guy actually ended up playing police officers. And I always find myself in a police uniform on basically like so many different sets that I've worked on. And so many different
Is it because you're kind of buff? And they're like, oh, you got a buff police
guy. I have no idea. It's just like,
it just happens.
Because I'm only like from the outside, like honestly, like I'm only, you know, 5'8 on a good day. And so no one can really tell. And if I don't have on like short sleeves or anything, I look, you know, no one actually knows that I weigh like 200 plus pounds of. So that, but like, so anyway, I ended up being a police officer and sort of having the scene where we're sort of making fun and poking fun at Dan. And it was fun. The whole experience was fun. I mean, it was nice because I had stepped away from sort of a management role. And, you know, all the moving pieces with Dark Web, including production management and directing, which so it was like wearing multiple hats. It was nice to step away. And it was like my first sort of feature film as opposed to television, where I stepped back into just a role where I was there just to basically be hands in it. So that was nice. And
yeah.
I met a lot of great people on the shoot. And just so happens that I think the company who produced it is Spectre Vision. And I want to say they've produced some some good stuff since then too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they did something with Hannah Rosner, who's also in Dark Web. Mm-hmm. She's in Zelda Williams episode 3. So I know she directed something, I think, with them as well. Not totally sure, but anyway, Taika. So, one day he was basically just one of the like culty members, and he wanted to kill himself in the tub, and he showed up on set and they put him in a big ass beard, and super nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you haven't seen Jojo Rabbit,
oh my God, that movie is so fucking good.
I think Jojo Rabbit's probably my favorite film of 2019.
I was surprised at how serious it was.
I wasn't necessarily surprised. It's kind of hard to tackle that subject and not.
I mean, but serious. If there was someone who was going to do it not seriously, I figured it could be him, and still do manage to do it in a way that is, you know, not completely offensive, but still managed to poke fun at it. I figured it could be him. I will say I was kind of underwhelmed by the first 20 minutes, because when I saw the trailer, I'm like, okay, that could be fun. But like, what's it actually going to be about? And I feel like the first 20 minutes, it kind of just leaned into all the things I expected out of like the, you know, the Hitler and Nazi jokes, nothing super special. But then when it actually like hit off with like the plot and the core emotional arc that the main character goes through, it hit heavy, and it did it very well.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was laughing, I was crying, I was that was seriously one of the best films I've seen in a long time. I love that movie. Taika did such a good job. I'm super excited to see his career as it goes on. And I know, like he had mentioned too, that it wasn't exactly easy for him to play that Hitler role.
Really?
I thought I read that it was kind of like nobody wants to play Hitler. You know, nobody willingly wants to play Hitler. And
he's Jewish, isn't he?
I wouldn't be surprised. I can't say I know.
I'll look this up right now as you're talking.
I mean, I guess looks like, I mean, his real name is Cohen, so I'm assuming yes. And he was just such a joy to be around too, you know, like, and this was after Ragnarok when I met him, and just super humble guy hanging out, and he was, you know, hanging out and talking to PAs who are just kind of fanboying over him. And honestly, at the time, I hadn't seen Ragnarok. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
So really the only film that I've seen by him and outside of meeting him was Jojo Rabbit. And even Ragnarok, I don't think I've ever finished Ragnarok, but what I saw of it.
Oh, so good. You need to watch that movie.
It's like I feel like when I watched it, I felt like it was just this awesome standalone like Thor movie. And it was just good. Or not even Thor, but like Marvel movie. And I was like, if there's anyone who did a good job, like kind of, you know, just having fun with a Marvel movie, that was it.
That movie kind of impressed me as well, because I, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that was fun. That was like a fun thing. It kind of, he did some things in it that I thought was not, I didn't care for, like basically killing off these main characters like it was nothing. And it was like unceremoniously. I'm like, man, that could have had more weight to it. And I felt like, yeah, it was funny, but it felt kind of shallow. However, as I've watched it in the years since, it's really grown on me, and the sort of the layers that it has to it are a lot more subtle than I at first realized. And I've learned to appreciate it kind of more and more the more I watch it. So I've really grown to like that movie quite a bit.
Yeah. So anyway, if anyone who's listening, go check out Seven Stages to Achieve Eternal Bliss, and look for my name in the PA section if you can.
There you go.
From what I saw, like working on the movie, I never got a chance to see it, which was super unfortunate, because I think both times they had a screening of it, like a rough cut screening of it, at some time, and I wasn't in town. And then again, same thing. I wasn't in town, and it was so unfortunate too, because I had like three or four different premieres this month in particular, and I couldn't go to any of them. And then three of them, I think, got canceled. So I was like, oh, man. But
too busy on that beach body work train, running around doing your work.
Yeah, I was in for that. I was doing it's this new system. Actually, I don't think it's new. Apparently, a bunch of people knew about it already. It's called 10 Rounds. Have you heard of that?
I have not. No.
Yeah, it's like I say this lightly, a boxing workout.
It's like an air. Like, it's basically like a one person boxing workout where you're doing like shadow boxing and stuff. Yeah.
Which again, I mean,
that's a legit workout.
Yeah. No, it totally is. I mean, I boxed and have been boxing and know what it's like to get hit too, so it's a little different for somebody who like is used to getting hit while they're boxing, but you know, it's definitely a good workout for people. And I feel like, man, it's probably gonna do pretty well now, because I feel like people I'm going stir crazy, man. I'm getting sick of that. I'm getting sick of the fucking at-home workouts. I'm like, oh my god, man, I don't have a pull-up bar here anymore.
Oh,
like,
I do. I'm so happy I do.
Yeah, I'm literally right before I got on this, I was like opening up my laptop. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm done ordering, because I can't find them anywhere either. Like, I went to Target 2 days ago, and the entire workout section, which good for people at home, is cleared out.
To be fair, people at home are likely getting it and then not using it.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's the thought that counts, right? I mean, There's two ways this quarantine's gonna end. We both know how that is. There's gonna be the people who are like coming out looking almost probably sickly with like model bods, and then there's gonna be the other people who got what we'll call it the quarantine 15. So you know, we'll see how it works out. But yeah, I'm like, so I gotta order everything now, I'm realizing. Like
and
every
even
time
then,
I go to
that's taken a while, because like I know Amazon, we ordered stuff from Amazon a few days ago, and that's not hitting till April 23rd or so. So
oh,
like I know
shit.
They're, yeah, because oh, their whole distribution system has taken a hit in terms of how they get stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't ordered anything yet. I assumed too. I was like, okay, the ordering's probably gonna take a while. I haven't even looked yet, but you know, I've been on the hunt for this damn pull-up bar, man. I've been in like 3 different Targets, all of them gone. And then even the online systems that it's like you go and look and it says they have one in stock and it's like, yeah, no, they don't.
It's like they have one and it's like overpriced or it'll take a million years to get out to you or something. But actually, on that note, hello, everybody. Welcome to LR Mornings. As you can hear, Kyle is not here today, unfortunately. But Jammer, me, I am here with special guest Eric. What's up, Eric?
What's up? What's up? This is my third day now, so I don't know if I'm special.
It's your third
anymore.
Day. That's true. We have a lot of guests. Guests as of right now. And then I'd say if you're here for, I don't know, a few weeks in a row, that can just I can get rid of the special guests and just kind of say you're here.
Okay.
At that
point,
I think that's
everybody
how,
will know that the turd is here.
The turd, yeah, Mr. Turd Sam, as it were.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say.
So, interesting thing I found. I was looking online, and it looks like Variety, the outlet, is saying from their sources that talent is being told. They're letting talent and their reps know. Studios are letting talents and their reps know that at this point, they do not expect the stalled productions to get back underway until mid-May at the earliest.
Yeah.
When most of these shutdowns were first announced, studios hinted that it was possible that people can go back work in April, but even May could be overly optimistic. The pandemic is not expected to reach apex in major production hubs like New York City until the end of April.
Yeah. I mean, New York is a mess. I feel really deeply for anyone who's working on the East Coast right now. Luckily, having spent some time on the East Coast the past year now, which, you know, I learned by working over there, it's so easy. There's so many people who work in, say, New York or Boston or anywhere on the East Coast, and these guys will hop states to go work on projects like for the day. I mean, it's crazy. So hopefully, and I know there's a lot of production in Boston too. Castle Rock is there, and I know Adam Sandler just did a big movie there. For some reason, they're popping off too. And I just read too, you know, the mayor of Los Angeles said the same thing. They're like, this is not going to be over in a couple of weeks. You know, buckle up. It's going to go well into May. So yeah, that was good news.
I mean, was it? I mean, that's even optimistic at this point. Like, that's what day is it? Is it March? It's still March, isn't it? It's almost April.
Almost April. It's dragging, but it's the 26th. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've officially retreated into the world of Animal Crossing fully. I visited my first neighborhood that wasn't mine, which is great.
You opened up your airport?
Not permanently, because my wife and I, we like to play together. Yeah. And you can't do it with the network open, so like I'll do that when the time comes, but I'll let you know so I can visit your neighborhood and you can visit mine. That'll be fun.
I got my girlfriend, she's on my island as well.
Yeah,
so but we haven't played together yet. How is it?
It's fine. It's kind of like you have to switch between, so what we do is you have to choose a leader, and then you shake your controller, and it basically changes who the leader is. You can kind of swap back and forth. So what we do is, like, I maybe have this particular task I want to do. I take control, and then she basically just follows around on the same screen and helping out with certain things. And if we're, like, pulling weeds or something, the weeds disappear, and then they end up in, like, that little
in that
big chest that's in Nook's place. And so we're just kind of like switching off. You know, like I do a task, I get like a Nook mile, then I switch over to her, and we kind of go back and forth on that. So that's actually worked pretty well. At first, we didn't realize that all the stuff ended up in that chest, and we thought it just disappeared. So that was like, man, that kind of sucks. But luckily, that wasn't the case. And so it's actually very useful. And I have a house now as opposed to a tent. and I'm getting ready to explore the other stuff on the island. I just love how slow you can take it. Just throw in 30 minutes a day or so and just like get ready for the big events. Nintendo right. announced that there's going to be like a Bunny Day event over the course uh-huh. of April 1st through 12th, I think. And you'll be able to like go hunt Easter eggs and craft special items and all that. So that'll be a good thing. One of the joys to look forward to. Wake up in the morning, go like, oh, this thing that I've been waiting for is available. Awesome.
Right. Yeah, that's the beauty of the game is that, well, and also not the beauty for people who want to just, you know, beat things right away. But yeah, I mean, you really like there's stuff you can't even like, it's like you can only do so much in a day on there where you're like, all right, well, wait for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, harvesting something or I feel like every day there might be something new that they kind of add and it's fun to like watch it. And also, did you get the Nintendo Switch app yet?
The app? No, I got a Nintendo Switch item, but I
think so. Okay. If you get the app on your phone. If you get the Nintendo Switch app, you could link Nook. I'm still going to call him Nook because Nook. So you can link, it's called, let me pull it up here. Game specific like app things. It's called Nook Link. And basically, you have to link your phone to your Animal Crossing game. And then you can get like QR codes for like, you know, if you want an artwork or something.
Oh, because okay.
every time you make a painting or a design in Animal Crossing, it generates a QR code for your thing. So there's a lot of already, there's massive amounts of, there's like 500 or more like QR codes already on the internet floating around of like
different... Oh, so you could just get a QR code and basically download a design that you could wear?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And I don't know if it costs money because it's saying on here when you go to it, I haven't done it yet, but like when you go to look at it, it says proceed to purchase. I'm like, oh no. And I was told that there was going to be like a lot of in-game purchases from mm-hmm. this, which I mean, you know, Animal Crossing is essentially your, you know, the like granddaddy of all the, you know, what those like app games where you build per day and like.
Yeah, like those old Facebook games that they used to pop up. Like Farmville, yeah.
Clash of Clans and yeah, all those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're diving into it though. It's pretty addicting. Mm-hmm. Especially right now. I mean, I'm trying to like focus on writing and it's just like, yeah, but I don't know, I got some trees to harvest, you know?
Luckily for me, it's just a nice little 10-minute thing that I could just hop into for a bit. So I try not to get too addicted. But, you know, at night, it's going to be nice to be able to, like, when we're watching something, just one of us plays the game for a while. So that's a nice little thing to go back on that helped change up the tedium of watching TV or other specific games that I'm working on. Just another extra thing.
Yeah. Well, and I, like, it's right now. So my girlfriend's still working. She's still going into work. She works at a pretty popular dispensary out here.
Nice.
Yeah. So she's, I mean, it is nice. It's also like kind of nerve wracking. She's in Urban Trees in Studio City. And, you know, there's still all the dispensaries are still basically fully functioning.
I mean, I guess they do have medicinal reasons. It's probably why they can justify staying open on some level, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're literally labeled as pharmacies, I think. Like, okay. Most of them are labeled as pharmacies, so they're still open. I mean, they're monitoring it, and, like, you know, they're all being really safe there, and luckily she works at, you know, a really nice one in Studio City. But who the hell knows what's going to happen over the next week? I know Chicago is pretty bad right now. They just closed, like, all of their running trails and their parks and everything.
We have a bunch of our parks nearby because we're able to go out and walk around and stuff, but they just don't want us to congregate. And we look, there's this nearby park and they have like wrapped all of like the swings and caution tape and
right
things like that.
Yeah, so like that was a part of I didn't need a pull-up bar because I live literally, luckily, I'm 2 blocks away from Lake Balboa Park, which is a beautiful, massive park.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like this whole section dedicated to, they have rings, pull-up bars, like all these other, like basically outside workout, you know, facility things, like just equipment. And yeah, I was there last week working out and I did it with gloves. But the very next day I go there and everything was wrapped in caution tape. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Now I need to get the at-home gym going on.
Yeah, I know there's these other bars that are near us. And occasionally, whenever I'm walking, I hop onto them and crank out a few just because. And those were, yeah, I can't use those anymore. Or even before there was caution tape, I was just looking at them like, I don't know, man. I hear it survives on metal. So I have no idea what to think here. So,
well,
yeah, I don't bother anymore.
Yeah, man, it's just so, it's such a thing where it's like, it's so big. The spread rate is so fast. Like, you know, like, what do you think? Do you think you're going to get it?
I don't think so, but I also don't know. Because you never, like, at the same time, like, we have enough food for a couple of weeks, easy.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, I think it's going to go more than 2 weeks, first of all. At some point, we're going to have to go shopping again. And it's just going to be like, 2 weeks of, well, let's see if that worked. Let's see if we have if we're gonna get sick or whatever. But I don't know. Like, I really genuinely don't know. We only have 3 confirmed cases where I live, or in the county that I live in. But of course, that's confirmed. Who knows? Because apparently, one of the people who was confirmed just got they didn't find out until they were already recovered that they got it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. Like, there's so many people who are, you know, pretty healthy people who they're saying they might get it and cough for 2 days and then that's it. That's all. Like, they don't know if they have it. And
right. And you also may have people who are like healthy and then they like almost die and they're like, don't get it. And then, and it's like, okay, thanks. Wasn't trying. Yeah. But every person, it seems like.
Yeah. And I've been inside now. Like, I came home and was already planning on kind of quarantining outside of the coronavirus. I was on the road for that long and I was just like, I can't wait to go home and do nothing. And so the first week wasn't even bad for me. I was still kind of just resting and, you know, getting back my bearings of not being on the road and even adjusting to the time because I had gone from the East Coast back to the West Coast. And now I'm just kind of like, man, I'm getting... And then I go to the park, Lake Balboa Park. Again, I live right by it. Now, I've been going to this park for 6 years since I moved here. And relatively, the park is, I would say, at most, it is not crowded at
okay.
all. This last week I went there, like, you know, days after we're told basically don't go outside, and I have never seen more people at this fucking park.
Were you told not to go outside or not to gather?
Because not to get. Well,
okay.
Either way, like the point was, I've never seen the park that crowded in my life.
There's a meme online where it's just like people when they're told to go out to go about their lives or whatever, and has just people sitting at home on their iPads and people told to, you know, stay inside, and it shows everybody at parks and stuff and running around.
Yeah.
That's like definitely a thing.
Yeah, I know. And that's also because they're, in some ways, the whole closing of certain establishments is kind of forcing people to, when they want to get out, they want to go, where can they go right now? You know, they can go to the park. So, you know, you have this
group. That's where I'm at. Yeah, because, like, I don't go to a park, but I definitely, like, because I, you know, if we can't go out, if we can't meet with people, if we can't go out to restaurants, if we can't go out, and, you know, to a brewery and grab a beer or something, it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to go for a walk. And it seems like everyone's like, all right, I guess I'm just going to go for a walk. So we're passing a lot more people nowadays than we normally would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't tell if it's a mix of that or if it's also because, for here, at least, the weather has been way nicer than it has in weeks past. So it's like the sun is out and it's like 60 or 50 degrees, but it's still nice and sunny. So it has that nice bite to it. And I don't know if it's a mix of that, but yeah, there's definitely a lot of people out and about on my end as well.
Well, here it's been raining every other couple of days. It's actually kind of great. I mean, because, you know, California is usually dying for rain. And, like, man, it's been raining here every other couple. Like, it's actually beautiful. Everything's green. Like, I've in the 6 years I've lived here, like, this is one of the most beautiful times I've stepped outside and been like, holy shit. Like, you can look and see the hills and it's green for days as opposed to, you know, brown.
Yeah, or yellow. Land.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this is great. And so something, it's so weird how, it's not weird, it's almost natural, but it's like, you know, the universe, the earth itself is just like sort of healing in other ways while, you know, the people on it are suffering.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. But yeah, so hopefully it's not going to stick around. I read a new report saying, like, you know, America is going to get hit worse than any other country or something, and I'm like, yeah, maybe. We don't know. The fact is, we really don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, how long it's going to take, but fingers crossed that when all said and done, we will come out and be able to sort of adapt to the new circumstances. And at the end of the day, it's weird because, you know, I look back at the other viruses, you know, like H1N1. I know there are huge differences between this and that, but I mean, there was like over 100,000 to like 500,000 deaths from that.
Yeah,
and
there was 200, I thought.
200. There's a huge range. Yeah. So it's like, it's a ridiculous range. And it's I don't remember what things were like back then when that happened.
H1N1 was swine flu, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so I had it.
My wife did too.
And I gotta say, it was, so I don't get sick like hardly ever. So when I get sick, it's usually pretty bad. But I had that, and I remember it was like a week of sleep. Like, I have never been that tired in my life. I wasn't even like physically that ill. Like, I don't remember being like in pain or anything. Like, I've had sore throats or strep that was worse than that. But as far as the fatigue factor and also my temperature too, I think I got up to like 103, which is the highest fever I've probably ever run. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, but it just killed me. Like, I couldn't go anywhere. Every other 20 minutes I was sleeping.
Yeah.
It was just, that's what it did to me. But I remember, and then, yeah, I remember it was, you know, offing basically. That one did hurt little kids.
Yeah.
But this, so like this particular, like this coronavirus is like not really messing with kids. I'm seeing like the ages.
That is like the worst way you could phrase that.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like kids are more resilient to it.
It's like hopping over them. It's like Passover.
Well, I think is there something to be said too about like, are they, what do they call it when like the virus is like, so kids are just absorbing massive amounts of bad germs like daily, and their bodies become kind of resilient to it faster than, you know, somebody who's older, who's dealing with a new germ.
Yeah, but you're like, asking the wrong person. I'm nowhere near a biology junkie or someone who knows anything about that, so I couldn't say.
Yeah, I mean, either way, like, it's a good thing that it's not, you know, affecting the younger generation as much as it is, even H1N1 did, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode of LR Mornings. Of course, everyone, this is a lovely, lovely Friday. Don't forget to check out our live stream of Los Fanboys, which is going to be at 1 p.m. on Friday Pacific time. So that's 4 p.m. Eastern time. And we will have a, you know, much longer talk about this week in entertainment news. And also, if you have anything that you want us to cover, let us know. Shoot us a message. There's a we are going to put a post out on the lrmonline.com site. There should be a post there asking you what is it you want us to talk about, or any comments or things that you guys want us to bring up. Because the goal of Los Fanboys is, in addition to being sort of a news-based show, is to sort of discuss the topics that you all want us to discuss. So send us those messages on there. And if you can't find that post, send me an email, joseph@lrmonline.com. Eric, where can people find you?
You can find me at on Instagram at Mr. Turd Sandwich. Best place to find
me. And you can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and we will see you all next time.
Bye-bye.